Blog Talk Radio.
And tonight we have Damon left with us from South Africa.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
And we're going to play a little bit of music. He and I were talking, and then Skype dropped us. So we're trying to get back. So here you go with an orchestra beneath my window.
Glad you're back.
Ah, okay, we are back. I don't know. Skype and Blog Talk have issues sometimes, but I'm so glad you're here. It's 4 o'clock in the morning in South Africa, so I really appreciate you getting up and staying up at this hour.
Thanks, Sam. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. Good morning, my friend. Damon can be found at paganrightsalliance.org/30_days.html. And there's a lot of things to talk about. I wanted to ask you first how you got involved in paganism.
Gosh, I suppose by osmosis. I grew up in a country that was steeped in largely prejudicial Christian rhetoric, and the options for religious expression were very slim. And I remember growing up searching for a spirituality with which I felt comfortable. And for some reason or other, the only thing that grabbed my attention when I was young, both in primary school and later on in high school, was witchcraft. And the first records I could find dealing with the issue, because back then shops didn't sell books on witchcraft under the national government, that kind of thing was declared illegal. We had the occult police who used to go around arresting people for simply expressing an interest in the subject.
Oh, wow.
So there were two, I remember at this stage in Johannesburg, there were two bookshops who sold books from England and America. But at that point, when I was young, that young, they didn't have anything on the subject. So I ended up in libraries, in public libraries, looking for books on the subject, and ended up finding reports on witch hunts during the European witch craze.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first introduction to the subject. And, of course, that was filtered through a Christian lens. But as I grew up, I began to meet other people who had similar interests in pre-Christian religions, and it just developed from there.
Okay, and so we're going to talk tonight about witchcraft, witch hunting in Africa, particularly South Africa. But we understand, those of us who are, understand that these people being labeled witches aren't.
Yes, absolutely. The records show that none of the people who have been accused of witchcraft in the past actually identified as witches at all. we have an issue with the use of an English word to describe an African reality. When white colonizers and missionaries came to Europe, they brought with them their ideas of witchcraft, born from the height of the witch craze. 1700s, 1800s, they brought those ideas to Africa. And when they saw African people who generally practiced animistic, shamanistic, religio-magical practices, including a very heavy magical influence. What they saw, they simply identified as witchcraft. And that has stuck. It was entrenched in legislation against witchcraft, which actually was focused against traditional African magical practices or religions, erroneously called witchcraft by Europeans. So we're still sitting with the same kind of confusion today, where innocent people are accused of something that they're not involved in at all. I mean, for us as Europeans, we think the whole idea of being accused and then having to defend yourself from that is ridiculous, because we are witches, we claim the right to be witches, and we wonder why it is that we can't claim that right. But in Africa, the term is still regarded as a negative term entirely. Mm-hmm. And people who practice traditional African religious magic don't identify what they do as witchcraft, because they themselves regard the term as malevolent magic.
Right. So, I mean, it's negative to them, too. And
yes.
Now, this is pretty much divided along racial lines, isn't it, Damon?
Unfortunately, it is. The vast majority of victims are Africans themselves. Yeah. Black Africans. We have this new terminology in South Africa. If you're born here, you're either a white African or a black African. So it does, right, unfortunately affect only black Africans.
Yeah. So even though apartheid officially ended, there's still a lot of racial conflict. Or
completely.
Yeah.
More than 100 years of excuse me for interrupting you.
No.
More than 100 years of keeping different cultural groups apart, different religious groups apart, has unfortunately entrenched itself in society. And so we're very much still a very divided society in every way.
Right. I mean, I've seen some, I saw a video a few months ago, a lady who had, I think she and her first husband had some type of a farm in South Africa, and you know, it was raided, and she was raped and all this stuff, and he was killed, and she stayed because she said, well, it's her home. And but there's a lot now. I have a friend in Australia who immigrated to Australia from South Africa, she and her husband, and she was just very happy to do so, because she grew up again in South Africa, and it was just too scary for her. And it might be like the area that she was living in, because like you say, where you are living, actually it is pretty safe in the rural area.
Well, not all rural areas in South Africa are safe at all.
Right.
In fact, most witch hunts will happen in rural areas in the northern provinces, in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, but also KZN, Eastern Cape. I live in the Western Cape, and in the Western Cape, the area that I live in, the Southern Cape, is pretty safe. It's still 10 years behind the rest of the country, I suppose. But the Western Cape itself, Cape Town, experiences a lot of gang violence. So you don't see many accusations of witchcraft in Cape Town area, but you do see a lot of gang violence, mostly driven by drugs. But violence against women in this country is literally at an all-time high. I think there were statistics going around by gender activists recently after the shooting that show that I think one in three women have either been raped or experienced violence within a family concept from their husband or brother or father, which is horrendous.
That is horrendous.
So you're dealing with, I think this is the reason why our government doesn't want to focus on witch hunts per se, because violence levels are so high in every other category.
Right. And then like you said, a lot of the witch hunts are in other rural areas, and sometimes not reported, because the person in charge, like the tribal authority, just sort of plays into it too. And maybe in all good conscience, I mean, like he or she may actually believe this themselves.
Well,
so,
I think they do.
Yeah.
In most rural areas, you'll find that, especially in the northern provinces, most people don't have access to courts of law, but they do have access to traditional courts. Traditional courts sort of have a semi-existence under the existing legal system where we accept cultural rights and cultural laws, but they're not necessarily mainstream legal courts. Mm-hmm. But most accusations of witchcraft that then happen in these areas end up in these courts. And these courts don't necessarily operate the way a legal court might, where evidence is produced and judgment is made based purely on evidence. In traditional courts, judgment is made purely, as far as I'm concerned, on bias, because the only proof of the allegation is divination by a traditional healer. Mm. Well, I practice divination, but I certainly wouldn't risk a person's life in a court of law on what I say. Most people get accused and get found guilty simply by divination alone, and then they are forced to pay the most ridiculous fines to the chief and to the person who accused them. So the accusers are not actually being prevented from making accusations of witchcraft, which technically speaking still remain illegal because we still have the 1957 Witchcraft Suppression Act, which makes accusations of witchcraft illegal.
Ah, but there again, in the rural areas. Now, you have, for our listeners, Damon did a short interview with me before, so I'm going to cover some of the ground that we covered there, too, because everybody, you know, didn't hear that. But
right.
You have been, well, just talk, since the late 90s, actually, you've been editor of a Penitent Independent Pagan Media.
Yes, Penton started in 1995.
Uh-huh.
At the moment, it is the oldest and only pagan magazine, I suppose you could call it, that online magazine in South Africa. We need more.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's and so you have you are busy because some of your time is spent there, and then with the Pagan Rights Alliance. And this initiative, the 30 days, would you like to talk a bit about the 30 days? Because I think this is wonderful. This is like every year it comes around at this time. It begins 29 March this year.
Yes, every year, 29 March to 27 April, we celebrate 30 days of advocacy. Of course, our advocacy is all year round. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just start and end in March and April.
Right.
But during that period, we focus particularly on the media and on the press. We approach radio stations and newspapers, and we try and get the message out as widely as possible, which is really difficult because mainstream media in this country simply doesn't want to deal with. They'll deal with issues of violence around women, and even though we try and sell, to use that term, the advocacy on the basis that most of the victims are women and therefore this is an aspect of gender violence, they're not really interested in covering it. When we began our campaign in 2008, I think media generally saw our approach as an attempt to promote our religion and did not understand the reason for our advocacy as being a human rights issue. We were trying to prevent human rights abuses. We were not necessarily trying to promote our religion.
Right, right.
And so every year we've had events. This year, I think, will be the most successful year so far because we managed to get the word out. More and more people know about the campaign and are now supporting the campaign, but not just nationally, internationally. And so we're launching the campaign officially on the 16th of March this year, not the 29th of March, although the 30 days still stands, with an advocacy exhibition at the White River Gallery in Mpumalanga, which is one of the second highest province of witchcraft accusations. In a town called Nelspruit.
Oh, okay.
We have high-profile both painters and sculptors participating in it, and it's sort of an in-your-face to the people who live in Mpumalanga, especially the authorities, who are not really doing much to prevent accusations of witchcraft. As you said earlier, primarily because they themselves believe that witchcraft is alive and well and is evil and must be suppressed.
Right. So, well, now for the gallery opening, and I know that you're a potter and a ceramicist,
yeah.
And so you will definitely be showing at the gallery.
I will be participating, yes.
Yeah. Are you going?
Quite exciting.
Well, because of the police and the ignorance and on, are you going to, like galleries always, when a new showing comes up, they have an opening. Are you going to have an opening?
Yes.
Invite some of these people?
Absolutely. On the the opening on the 16th of March, we've invited media quite widely, but we've also invited government officials, and more importantly, our ally in government, which is the CRL Rights Commission, that is the Commission for the Promotion and Protection of Religious, Linguistic and Cultural Rights. It's a Chapter 9 institution, which means it's created underneath the Constitution, and its purpose is to protect and promote the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. So they will be present on the 16th of March to help us open. Okay. And the day before that, they're having their own venue in Mpumalanga, in Nelspruit, which will focus on the prevalence of witch hunts and witchcraft accusations. So our CEO, Morgoz Fontlivi, will be representing SAPRA at this event. It's great to be given a platform in order to advocate, finally.
Oh, yes.
But it's also very scary for Morgoz because she lives in a very small town. Her religious affiliation, although she's never hidden it, is not something she wants to advocate on a public platform. Oh. So we've had to negotiate this very carefully, in which Morgoz will focus on the human rights issues and basically our issues that we feel are important around the 2013 campaign, and try and avoid mentioning the fact that she is a witch,
right,
which is unfortunate.
Yes, yes it is, because, I mean, we found that in the United States, and much more so when I got involved 20-some years ago, it was... more people were in the closet, so to speak, the broom closet. Yeah. But now, it's funny to, I mean, not funny, it's sad, but I talked with someone recently who is still in the closet. He's a very public person, and with his business and this and that, and people who know him closely know, but he's afraid to go public because of his business and things. And I mean, not that he's going to get killed or anything. You know, I mean, the danger to him isn't what it may be to her. But
Well, both might lose their jobs and estranged family members. And
Yeah, so it's still, and it's so sad because any time that you're in the closet, whether it's because of being lesbian or gay or witch or whatever, it takes up a lot of energy.
Totally. Trying to hide away is just a waste of energy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. To hide who you are, it's a horrible type of thing. I did want to, now you mentioned that you do try to educate the police force, am I right? I mean, and
yes,
but you try with the police. How do you
recently? That? Well, more recently, the witchcraft accusations are going to be dealt with by a reconstituted unit of the South African Police Services called the Occult Related Crimes Unit, its euphemistic name is the Religious Crimes Unit, but of course they're focusing only on the occult. Historically, they have a reputation of focusing only on Satanism and witchcraft, but under our new Bill of Rights, religious freedom is guaranteed. And so we've been negotiating with them on and off for quite a while now, actually since 2004. We first approached them with complaints around the naming of the unit because we felt that it was prejudicial, and we felt that the basis on which the unit had been established was prejudicial to religious minorities. But in the reconstituting of those units more recently, we submitted complaints focusing around the mandates of the occult unit. Although we're glad that they will be dealing with witchcraft issues, accusations of witchcraft, we feel that they don't fully understand the issues because they're coming from a prejudicial, largely Christian understanding. And the reason why I say this is because the people who first instituted the occult-related crimes unit and the people who are now training new police recruits to the unit have all, when they retired from the police services, all went into ministries targeting the occult or Satanism or witchcraft. So they're clearly not unbiased. And their motivation, I don't think, can be trusted entirely. But we've established contact with these people now. One of the representatives of the unit is on our Facebook forum, and so keeps an eye on things that we talk about. And if we have any issues around accusations come up in the media, we try and contact them and make our voice heard. But they're still reluctant to work with us as an official NGO.
Ah, okay. Again,
because most policemen in rural areas still believe that witchcraft is something that needs to be suppressed. So it's something that they themselves have to overcome, the institutionalized bias.
Yeah, and that can be sort of difficult. And we've seen how today in the headlines, it started yesterday or whatever, there's a video out and it's actually horrendous. 8 policemen in South Africa have been suspended because of beating and tying a man to the back of a police vehicle and dragging him, and he died.
Violence, as I said, violence in this country is at all-time high. In fact,
by the police.
We have more violence now. Sorry, carry on.
I was just going to say that shows that the police are not enlightened by any means. And these are the people you're dealing with and trying to teach.
Well, I think that they're frustrated probably as much about general violence in society as everybody else. And instead of dealing with it in a constructive way, they're simply resorting to violence. Yeah. Some analysts have been saying that we've inherited this violence from the apartheid system. And others are saying, look, apartheid ended many years ago, and this violence now has nothing directly to do with that system. But I'm sure it did. I'm sure that there is still a lot of animosity and a lot of mistrust, specifically against police, because remember, during the apartheid system, the police were used as the arm of the nationalist government. Right. And so there is still a lot of mistrust with the SAPS. But the fact that the SAPS themselves are resorting to this kind of violence is simply unacceptable. The more shocking for me was a recent case of a lady who went to a police station to report a case of violence. Her husband had beaten her, and she ended up being raped in the police station by a policeman. That for me is more shocking.
Oh my God.
Because where do victims of gender violence turn to if they can't trust the police?
Exactly. I mean, if you can't... Oh God. No, that is just...
With accusations of witchcraft, the victims have no recourse. I mean, you can imagine how that lady felt. Well, these people get accused by their neighbors, sometimes even members of their own family. When the police eventually arrive on the scene, they've probably already been beaten up by a crowd.
Yeah.
Their house has been set alight. And the general toy-toying in the street is aggressive, extremely aggressive. So the police are hesitant to intervene with force because the community could just as easily turn against them. And so what happens is the police will arrest on site, arrest the victim of the accusation, and drag her into a police cell for the evening. So that already has reinforced the prejudice and the pain and the fear for the victim. The victim will never overcome that. The victims are rarely offered any kind of psychological assistance, no counselling, no help whatsoever. And they'll stay in the police station until such time as the community has calmed down sufficiently for the victim to be taken out of that particular area and moved to another. And I've read so many cases where victims are moved from the original town where they were accused to another town, only for people there to discover that this person has just been accused and it starts all over again, and then be moved from that town to another town.
So
there isn't sufficient policing.
Now, there are actual relocation towns or centers?
Yes. They're informal refugee centers that were set up since the 1990s in Limpopo, which is one of the northernmost provinces. During the 1980s, we had a high level, again, of pre-election violence. And during that period, there were many, many cases of accusations of witchcraft that led to violence. And the Gender Commission set up a formal investigation toward the end of the 1980s. And then already the first refugee camp had been established. It was called euphemistically by the media as the witch camp. No. But of course, nobody in the camp were witches. Today, that camp is now an established little town. And there are 3 other informal refugee camps, which are slowly growing into their own towns as well. Last year, when the CRL Commission got involved on the ground and went to visit these camps to start recording stories of the victims, one of the CRL rights commissioners phoned me to say that new people were arriving as we were speaking on the telephone. Oh. And so this isn't just something that happened in the 80s. It's something that continuously happens.
Right. Well, so they're forming. Now, if somebody is taken there because they've been chased out, and thank goodness they still have their life, does the government give them any kind of money?
None whatsoever. Their refugee status isn't acknowledged. I remember the UN a while ago put out, I think it was 2 years ago, put out a paper on witchcraft accusations as a refugee concern for the United Nations. And in there, they discuss different countries and different issues surrounding refugees of accusation. And the chapter on South Africa mentioned that the government had denied that we had any problem, which was an outright lie, because we've always had a problem with this issue.
Right.
They simply don't want to look at it. Now, then the government is at the moment facing an enormous crisis with unemployment, lack of housing, lack of proper sanitation, lack of general service delivery. And so I suppose when you go to them and you say, look, you have four refugee camps in Limpopo, these people need your help, need your assistance, they're probably looking at it as, well, those are just another four towns that need our assistance.
Yeah.
When in fact we feel that they should be looking at that with priority. These people have been abused, their human rights have been violated, they've received no justice at all. So we feel that they really do need to focus on that. And that's what we're focusing on this year during our advocacy campaign. We want to focus on the victims of accusation who survived.
Wow. And yeah, you said who survived. So, Damon, are there any kind of numbers that are realistic that you know of? I mean, how many people are in the camps? How many people are killed every year? Because
unfortunately, no. The media does not report all cases of accusation, only the ones that lead to violence, the loss of life. And then not all of those, because one, the police are not keeping statistics based on how people are being killed or why they're being killed. So the police themselves have no idea what the incident level of accusations of witchcraft in this country are. The Justice Department doesn't know, because they're not counting. The media only represents a tiny fraction of actual accusations. We know that most accusations, whether they lead to violence or not, end up in traditional courts.
Mm-hmm.
Issues that are covered in traditional courts are not covered by the media, because the media is not welcomed in traditional courts.
Sure.
So we anticipate that the actual figure is far higher than what we're seeing.
That is just so sad. I mean, the people who are in the camps, of course, they're the ones that managed to escape with their lives. But a lot of people have been just beaten to death or beaten so they're incapacitated, whatever. And one of the favorite ways of taking care of the problem, quote unquote, is to burn the people or burn their homes, maybe with a family member.
Mm-hmm. And often the entire family will be involved. And the most recent case that the media reported was in June 19. And we're trying to figure out why we've not seen any further media reports since June 19. Have the media decided not to report witch hunts anymore, or have they come to an end? We don't believe they've come to an end. So we believe that it is more than likely that the media are not reporting these issues anymore. And on that particular day, an elderly woman named Tokozili Tembi, she's 72, she was accused of being a witch by members of her community. And while she was sleeping in her house with her two grandchildren, 11 and 3, the house was set alight. So the grandchildren were collateral damage for that accusation, and this happens all the time. I think one of the most severe cases was an entire family, the grandmother, with two tiny children, a teenager, a mother and a father all died together in a house. And this happens far too often.
That's just, yeah. Now, so you are I think I wrote this down. You're educating the public and the police, and you're working with them to create maybe victim support units somehow.
Yes, that's one of our demands. Yes.
Yeah.
And we have a few demands which we've been consistently making since 2008. One, of course, is that we need to identify that this is the problem. The government needs to admit that it has a problem and that this problem has not been resolved. It's easy to talk about uphold and strengthen a culture for human rights for all equally, but until the beliefs that motivate witch hunts are challenged, either with science or religion, these issues are not going to go away, because people still believe that misfortune is caused by witchcraft and therefore a witch must be responsible. And if you talk to these people about human rights, they'll say, yes, but what about my human right to safety from witchcraft? For us, the central issue must be education programs, but they must be undertaken by people who understand the concept. And we're not saying send real witches into the villages, because that would be counterproductive. We need to train police. We need to train government representatives. We need to train local governments to understand the issues, where they're coming from, what needs to change. For example, when people complain that their misfortune is caused by witchcraft, we need to be able to show people that their misfortune is not caused by witchcraft, but caused by economic factors, lack of employment. If somebody dies from sudden death, it doesn't mean that there is witchcraft involved. It means that there is a good medical reason for why the person has died. So this requires education on every possible level. We need the Department of Health, the Department of Education, Department of Justice. We need the police involved. We need the Department of Social Security involved. It's a nightmare, because unless the government actually first admits that there is a problem and then is willing to coordinate a program of awareness, this is not going to change.
Right. I mean, you can point the things out and everything, but like you said, you can't send real witches in, because that's going to be counterproductive and just make a real mess. So
absolutely.
So trying to get the government, well, sure, they've got to admit it, there's a problem first, but yes. I'm being bothered by a bundle of fur right now.
I can hit Kitty.
Yes. Also, one of the goals is to uphold and strengthen the culture of human rights. And like you said, people, if you mention human rights and then they just turn it around, well, what about mine being protected against witchcraft? So you have quite a job ahead of you. What is the best way that the rest of us, you know, who don't live there can help?
Well, primarily, we would like to appeal to everybody listening to the show to sign our petition as a start. Sign it and share it. If you go to our campaign page, we've shortened our link, but we have a redirect on the old link. It's just paganrightsalliance.org/advocacy. Or if you go to just paganrightsalliance.org and you have a look at the top, you'll see a link to the advocacy page. If you go to the advocacy page, just underneath the exhibition advert, you'll see an avaz.org community petition. Please go to the petition, sign it, and share it with as many people as you possibly can. The reason for the petition is obvious. We need an international support. Apart from international support, we need the numbers, so that when we go to our parliament and our provincial governments, we can say, look, hundreds of thousands of people around the world are saying you need to do something about this. This is not just us saying it.
Right.
Because so far our message, our appeal for action has been met with deaf ears. And most people have just ignored it.
Yeah. Do you ever put any kind of addresses for officials or anything on the page?
Always.
So it wouldn't hurt to actually write a letter either.
Not at all. In fact, you could if you have a look at the actual petition on the top right-hand side, mm-hmm. it shows who this petition will be sent to.
Right.
It will be sent to the South African Human Rights Commission primarily, because we've been trying to involve the Human Rights Commission primarily because the United Nations High Commission has already declared witch hunts a human rights abuse. And the South African Human Rights Commission has consistently denied that witchcraft accusations are a human rights issue for South Africa. So we need them to understand that it is a human rights issue. But we're also directing our petition specifically at Parliament, National Parliament, and the provincial parliaments which govern local provinces. So you could contact them. You could try and encourage them to get involved. Their names are there. Unfortunately, their addresses aren't there, but I'll get them up for you.
Okay, that would be great, because I just think this is appalling, and you can only do so much.
We can only do so much. Our advocacy can only extend toward talking to people who actually have the authority and the power to do something about the subject. We would love to, as somebody said, get our brooms in the air and march into territories and take over. But that's just impossible.
Yeah.
That's a fantasy. We need to rely on government organizations who have the authority and the funding to actually go in and speak to traditional leaders and traditional healers. We've had some engagements with traditional healers in the past, primarily because very often, you know, we have a phenomenon in Africa which occurs everywhere, are called muti murders. This is when people are attacked. Their body parts are hacked from their bodies while they're still living, supposedly for trade in human body parts. And the trade in human body parts has historically been called by the media witchcraft related, but it isn't witchcraft related, because the people who commit these crimes are not witches and they don't practice witchcraft. It ends up in a traditional healer's hut or home where he or she allegedly makes concoctions which will help people become wealthy or protect them from misfortune. And it's a heinous crime. Witches in this country have condemned these crimes consistently. So this adds to the prejudice around the issues of witchcraft. I forgot why I actually went to that subject. Your question was...
I don't know. I mean, because you horrified me about hacking the body.
Sorry, I apologize. As I said, violence levels in this country are unbelievable.
And they're using the parts for, like you say, for wealth or sex or whatever. And this is what, in other parts of the world and Africa, they kill animals for the tusks or the ivory, whatever. For
yes.
This kind of thing, and it's and that's appalling. And this killing people, you know, this is horrid. I did want to mention that there was a couple of the instances, like recently we read, and I think this was in Kenya, wasn't it? That you want to talk about the two young men?
Yes. There was a Zambian report that two youths had died from suspected witchcraft. Now, the suspected witchcraft was actually lower abdominal pains, which you and I know could be caused by a number of things, most probably food poisoning. They had apparently traveled from their hometown to somewhere else, to Botswana, I believe, to buy goods. So they must have eaten something along the way which made them sick. And unfortunately, we know where this is going to head, because the Zambian media have now declared this possible witchcraft attack, which means that somebody somewhere down the road is going to be accused of this and torched or murdered. It's very disturbing.
And I know before when we had talked, there had been a young girl who had... She was quite bright. She made good grades in school. And so they accused her of being a witch. And she was run out. I mean, things, you know, just anything. Somebody's animal dies. Well, it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
Whoever's around, like you say, mostly women or girls, but females are usually blamed. We do have a call
mostly
here.
Women, yes.
Let's take this call. If I can get... Okay, hello.
Hey there. How are you?
Hey.
I had a question for Damon. Does Hi. This place... Hi, how are you? I'm glad that you're doing the work. It's commendable.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you if, in fact, you had any experience with personal jeopardy. Does this place you and those that help you in doing this awareness work in any direct jeopardy because of, you know, the climate that you're in with the violence and the subject matter?
It doesn't place us in direct jeopardy. As I said, most accusations of witchcraft are targeted, unfortunately, against black-skinned people. So although there are a few black-skinned witches in this country, and I apologize for having to use the whole black and white thing, but we're still stuck in the past here. White people generally, especially those who identify as witches, are not targeted in witch hunts. There may have been individual cases in the past, but these are not prevalent. So we're not in direct jeopardy. It has caused a problem within the community initially in 2008 when we first started our campaign, because many witches said, yes, but if we make known our identity to the public, who's to say witch hunters won't then turn around and attack real witches? Well, this thankfully has not happened. We have no guarantee that it won't happen in the future, but we can't stop our advocacy at this point. We've come too far to prevent that.
Right. Yeah. And it must be, knowing a little bit as I do about what you're really talking about in terms of the type of violence that is going on there, which is horrific.
Right.
That's got to be a little daunting, you know, or I'm sure it instills in you a feeling of urgency that this has to be tackled, but it must be daunting because how can you feel anything other than, you know, you get overwhelmed by this feeling of despair and horror, and then that's what you have to fight against in order to fight back against this.
In fact, you're absolutely right. I deal with my despair and horror by yelling and screaming, not online. But yeah, I learned to use my anger around the issues in a constructive way. I'm glad that I have anger issues, because otherwise I wouldn't find a way in which to deal with the feelings of anxiety. Also, I'm outraged that when we approach our government with issues on human rights, that they tell us that we're just trying to convert people to our faith, which is not something we do generally.
Right.
So, yeah, anger comes in useful.
Now, is this similar to, you know, culturally, the shamans, or whatever word you want to, you know, put in there instead of shaman, have been regarded as an integral part of various, you know, subsections of society on that continent. We're not talking about that, though. We're talking about people who are minding their business who, if they're blamed for witchcraft, they're blamed for being...
They're vulnerable, again.
Well, they're vulnerable, but they're blamed. I mean, the excuse is that they're not proclaiming themselves to be witches because they're doing dark witchcraft and they're on the down low, they're trying to stay hidden.
Absolutely.
When in fact they're not witches at all, they're just,
not,
you know, targets of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Yes, the cultural belief systems around witchcraft, specifically in our country, will always say they follow a certain line, which is that witchcraft happens in secret and so nobody can really know anything about it. Therefore, witches won't make themselves known to the public, so they will always lie or keep it quiet, which is very reminiscent of European witch hunts and accusations made against people who, again, were not witches, but were accused of being witches secretly or privately. In this country, traditional healers sometimes do become victims of witchcraft accusation for various reasons, but that's rare. In fact, you'll find that most traditional healers are the ones who ultimately make the accusations, or rather confirm the accusations. Somebody may think that so-and-so is involved in bewitching them, and they will go to their local traditional healer. We have two different types of traditional healers in our country. We have the Inyangas and the Isangomas. The Isangomas are traditional diviners, but they also work with herbal and animal remedies. And the Inyangas are traditional herbalists. And so both could be viewed with suspicion by people making accusations, but generally those are the people that people who think witchcraft is involved in go to confirm their suspicions. And the suspicion is usually confirmed via divination. In the past, it was very easy for those traditional healers to point out people. Now, the government tends to frown on traditional healers pointing out witches, and yet it happens all the time. That is the last line of confirmation for witchcraft accusations. And yes, you're right. The people being accused are not witches. They don't identify as traditional healers. They don't even practice any form of traditional African magical practices. Most you'll find are actually Christian or nominally Christian.
Mm. So do you think politics plays a role here? I mean, in the old days in Europe, you know, back in the day when we think, quote, unquote, witches back in the day, that politics played a heavy role. If a woman was left vulnerable because her husband or whatever had died, and the woman had then inherited by default all of the land or the holdings,
she was a witch. Yeah.
Well, that suddenly she was a witch so that they could get her stuff, you know what I mean?
Yes,
that was
that
one
does play a role.
I was going to say,
Politics, not specifically in terms of government, because thankfully our government is not orchestrating witch hunts or accusations. But government politics in terms of, yes, many of the accusations probably derive from land grabs. People want somebody else's piece of property on which their hut is built. It most often arrives from disagreements between members of a particular community, very close-knit community. You'll find that often older women suffering from dementia may wander around the village naked and then be accused of having fallen from a magical airplane or a winnowing basket and therefore must be a witch. Jealousies between women, between rivals within families, always those are the primary reasons. But the accusation itself, of course, is justified through this belief that misfortune is caused by witchcraft.
Right.
So you have to prove, you have to prove a negative. You have to disprove your guilt, which doesn't exist in the first place.
Right, which is...
No, it doesn't. There's no option for disproving one's guilt. In fact, if you've been accused, you're probably guilty whether or not you are.
Right.
Only a traditional healer, and you have to pray that the day that the traditional healer picks up his bones to confirm that he or she is going to look at you with some sympathy or empathy and say, no, this person is innocent.
And yet they convict children and so forth.
Sure.
Children accusations of child witchcraft in this country are not as high, for example, as they were in Kenya or Nigeria or Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
But they do still happen. A case, I think, 3 years ago where a pastor in a charismatic church in Gauteng bribed her congregation into making accusations of witchcraft against each other, against children within the community, used grandmothers to accuse children and used children to accuse grandmothers, and then recorded this on a DVD and sold it.
Oh, my goodness.
In order to promote her ministry against witchcraft.
Oh, oh.
Of course, she was inspired by the Nigerian lady, I can't remember her name now, who also used her entire congregation to create a whole series of films sold in the Nigerian market targeting children, specifically accusations of witchcraft against children.
Wow. Well, what about, Damon, say that the grandmother or mother, say the mother's accused and she's not, the house hasn't burned down, she's not burned out, but she's relocated. What about her family that's left behind? I mean, are they shunned, or do they maybe
her family won't be left behind, because an accusation of witchcraft, first, again, it's a culturally contextual, but in this country it is believed that witchcraft derives from the breast. In other words, if a person is accused of witchcraft, they receive that spirit of witchcraft from their mother or from their grandmother. And so if an individual within a family is accused, the suspicion is that this was derived from the bloodline, and therefore the entire family is looked at with suspicion. In most cases, the entire family is evicted from their home and from their village.
So the whole family would maybe go to this relocation village then?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Most people in these villages consist of entire families, where one or two people have been accused, but the entire family has been forced to relocate in order to save their own lives.
Wow.
I just read a report that Angola passed a law, and I could be wrong, but I read the report that said Angola passed a law making it illegal, and the death penalty is if you're found to be a witch that they just execute you. I don't know if that's
it's
true.
It's insane. It is true, and it's insane. Most of the witchcraft suppression legislation in Africa derived primarily from the English Witchcraft Suppression Act. They're very similar, with a couple of tweaks. Both French colonialists and British colonialists used the same kind of legislation. And in most cases, you'll see in some countries, an important aspect of that legislation is that there is a prohibition against making accusations of witchcraft, which of course doesn't stop anybody, but at least the prohibition is there. But we're finding an alarming trend amongst many African countries where that provision is now being removed. The idea is that if the government is seen to be preventing accusations of witchcraft, they must somehow be supporting witchcraft or protecting witches. And so many conservative governments are now altering their legislation in order to make witchcraft itself or accusations of witchcraft itself a criminal offense. So, I mean, not the accusations, the witchcraft. So it would now, of course, nobody other than real witches in Africa would identify themselves as witches.
Right.
But this, by removing the prohibition against making an accusation, you're actually encouraging more accusations.
Yeah.
I did want to mention that you have T-shirts for sale now.
Yes.
Right.
I think 2 years ago we started out with the black advocacy T-shirts, and this year we're launching the red ones. Unfortunately, we've had an enormous problem with negotiating payments from non-South African countries overseas.
Oh.
But we're negotiating with our bank now to get a PayPal system up so that we can facilitate that.
Okay.
And the money raised from the advocacy T-shirts does not get paid to anybody involved in the advocacy. It all gets used for next year's advocacy campaign.
Right, right.
Once the PayPal's up, Ruthann, have them send their info over to my network. We'll definitely put that up.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you very much.
We'll get it around. This is Steve from the Illuminati Network that we're talking to today.
Thank you, Steve.
And he's a pagan, too. yeah.
Damn, well, I've been outed.
Yes, I outed you. Oh, my goodness. Not that you've ever been in, but now
right.
You're outer.
No, I'm really out.
Yeah. we really need to get this out. The idea of people being hacked and burned for no reason, real reason, and you know, using our name as you know, I mean, it's this is just ridiculous. I can't.
It's tragic, and as I said, with the high levels of violence against women in particular in this country. The fact that this happens and isn't acknowledged by the media as a real issue and isn't acknowledged by a government as an issue is depressing. It's very disconcerting. But I can tell you now that it has to change. It will change. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people working with you, Damon?
Yes, it isn't just me. We have an executive committee, but our supporters are both within SAPRA and outside of SAPRA. So we're really grateful to people who are regularly there, who regularly support us. For example, Christopher Blackwell, who's been a supporter of the campaign from the very beginning. And we really appreciate his input, his advice, because, of course, he's been at this kind of thing for a lot longer than we have. And there are many people who support us and who actively campaign with us. So we're really grateful for all the supporters. This year we've been blessed with a lot of high-profile pagan authors, famous people who've publicly supported the campaign. So we're really grateful for their support. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that should be supported by every pagan. So. And not just pagans. I mean, we're not excluding anyone else.
Well, this is the problem we've had, is convincing other religious groups to support the campaign. When we first started, we actually presented Desmond Tutu with a signed copy of a book that we put together called Pagan Witches Touchstone, which was sort of the launch of the advocacy campaign. And we asked him to please read the book and to try and help us if he can by simply getting it out there, by speaking to people. He has influence, he has the ability to change people's thoughts on the subject. But he refused to touch the subject, like most people we approach, probably because it confuses the message for him. You know, he comes from a religious orthodoxy that has historically viewed witchcraft with suspicion. And perhaps he doesn't want to sacrifice his popularity by pursuing an issue which is unpopular. The same, we've had similar problems with the members of parliament who don't want to sacrifice their political careers for speaking about an unpopular campaign.
Well, that's politics, yeah. That happens totally. Everywhere, yeah. That's, I did want to say, once again, then, just straight website, paganrightsalliance.org, and everything is
there. And then, absolutely, the Advocacy Against Witch Hunts link is at the top, yes.
Right. And on Facebook, you're Touchstone Advocacy, right?
Touchstone Advocacy,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll also find us on SAPRA, but our campaign is focused through Touchstone Advocacy because we try to create some separation between our work as an organization focused on religious rights for pagans and the advocacy against witch hunts.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's you have quite a job ahead of you, and I hope that Steve and I can be of some help.
I'll make sure that Witchbox gets this too. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all, but
yes,
I'm on the I'm on the staff there, and
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I've been there since the beginning, and I'll make sure that we get that on the front page somewhere there, that so that people are aware of it, because they get millions of hits, and they'll certainly be people there that will help you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's do you have? I mean, I guess this is just sort of a stupid question. Is there a certain date in your mind? Do you have a date that you want this to be accomplished by, or at least like a goal that the government starts, you know, saying, okay, there is a problem by such and such, and we're going to...
We don't have an end date because the problems at this point are so
immense,
overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... They're going to take years and years of systematic, careful approach in order to address each and every aspect that plays a role in witchcraft accusations. So we will pursue this until we die of old age, if we have to.
Okay.
But we hope at least that every year we see some kind of progress. And this year we've seen real progress in terms of interaction with government officials, in terms of interaction with the media, which we haven't had before, and probably because we've been sustaining our messages continuously since 2008, and they now see us as not a fly-by-night issue, but you know, hopefully that will benefit us.
Right. So, yeah, well, this is then your life work, basically.
It is. It is.
I mean, I'm not negating your...
You could have gone and been a millionaire, but no, you had to go and help people, you know.
He was pottery at all. He could have just, you know,
right,
gone off and come down for showings occasionally, gallery openings, and had to have his heart open. So, yeah, that's what happened. So, thanks for Steve for coming on from Illuminati Network.
Steve.
And we've been talking with Damon Lesh from PaganRightsAlliance.org. And now
it's
5 o'clock in South Africa, and you can get some morning sleep, I guess.
Have a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen.
We will do this. Thank you both so much.
Good luck, Damon.
We'll be talking. Damon, if you get that those addresses and things to me, and I'll get them to Steve, and we'll get on the stick here. So.
Thanks, Ruth. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
And good night.
Bye.
Good morning,
James.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.